Chair Rommel.
Here.
Vice Chair Joe Lombardo.
Here.
Ranking Democratic Member Escamani.
I am here.
Representatives Beltran.
Here.
Haley. Goff Marcel.
Here.
Gregory. Grieco.
Here.
Harding.
Here.
Meggert. Mariana. Here. McFarland.
Here.
Nixon.
Here.
Umfroy.
Here.
Overdorf.
Yes, ma'am.
Blaken, excuse. Robinson.
Here.
Toledo. Here. Quorum is present.
Thank you. Let the record reflect that a quorum is present. Before we begin, please everybody silence their devices. And members, if you're going to speak, make sure you press the button, a little orange light comes on. Welcome back. We have 8 bills to hear. I hope everybody's having a great week. So let's get started. Looking to see, and nobody's in the audience yet that's not here. So we're going to start with committee bill HB 831, license requirements for land surveys by Representative Mariano. You are recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members. Today I have House Bill 831 relating to licensure requirements for land surveyors and mappers. As a legislature, we have been tasked with increasing accessibility to the workforce and providing our students with the best opportunities to better themselves and to build lasting careers. This assignment is even more important than ever as citizens across the great state have been faced with the undeniable hardship as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. This bill accomplishes this difficult task by expanding access to a profession that desperately needs it. The land surveyor and mapper profession, by removing burdens and unnecessary obstacles that cause hardship in trying to enter the profession or even to qualify to sit for the licensure exam. This bill would remove those barriers and create a tiered system that would allow individuals of all backgrounds the opportunity to enter this profession. This bill was brought to me in 2020 when a surveyor with over 15 years of experience moved to Florida and was denied licensure in this state. Even with extensive experience in the field, because the individual did not possess a 4-year college degree, they were denied access from even studying to take the rigorous licensure examination. With the dwindling number of individuals entering into the surveying profession, it is important for us to create gateways into this profession instead of barriers. Statistics with the Board of Licensed Surveyor and Mappers indicate a decline in survey and mapping licensure applications over the past 2 decades, with 69% of active licensees belonging to those over the age of 40. Currently, there is a bachelor's degree requirement to take the licensure examination through the Florida Board of Professional Surveyors and Mappers. They are, you must have received a bachelor's degree or higher in surveying and mapping with corresponding work experience, or you have received a bachelor's degree or higher in a major other than surveying and mapping. For example, my political science degree, and have a minimum 25 semester hours in coursework in surveying and mapping subjects with corresponding work experience. Florida is only one of 13 states that have a bachelor's degree requirement. There are a total of 37 states that do not require a 4-year degree. Many have an option for no education, only a high school diploma, in addition to work experience. Nationwide, a total of 40% of our land surveyors do not have bachelor's degrees. This bill would create a path towards licensure without a bachelor's degree, as long as the applicant had those 25 semester hours in coursework specific to surveying and mapping subjects with the corresponding necessary work experience. This is modeled after the existing structure that allows for an unrelated bachelor's degree with 25 semester hours in surveying and mapping to qualify to sit for the exam and obtain the necessary work experience. This legislation is simply creating access to a profession in dire need of workers. All individuals must still successfully pass all licensure exams and continuing education requirements as a licensed surveyor. That is the bill.
Thank you, Representative. Members, any questions? There are 2 amendments, but any questions as the bill presented right now? Seeing no questions, you're recognized to present amendment number 1.
Thank you. Amendment number 1, remove the section of the bill that defines accredited college or university.
Members, any questions on the amendment? Any questions? Seeing no questions, public testimony on the First Amendment? Representative Overdorf, I'm sorry, you're recognized.
Representative Mariano, why would you remove accredited universities, and to what then are you changing it to? If you could be a little more specific on that, please.
In the Second Amendment, we just redefine it. So instead of doing a strike all, we just did it in two different amendments, and that specific section is coming out. But we're redefining it in the Second Amendment as House Education staff recommended, as it's defined in statute, accredited by an accrediting body, recognized by the United States Department of Education.
Additional questions? You know, additional questions? Any public testimony on the amendment? It's on the other amendment. Okay. Members, we're in debate on the amendment. Any debate? No debate. Show that amendment adopted without objection. Members, we are on amendment number two. Please present amendment number two.
Thank you, Chair. As I just described, this revises the accredited college or university references in the bill to include the language of the revised description for accredited colleges and universities recognized by the Department of Education.
Thank you. Any questions on amendment number two? Representative Overdorf.
Thank you. Representative Mariano, does this also include items C and D, which are changing the ability to have a degree or not have a degree and move ahead with survey?
Recognize.
I'm sorry, can you please clarify your question?
So lines 40 through 65 of your amendment talk about the various requirements. So an associate's degree and or a high school diploma would allow them to become a licensed surveyor. Is that correct?
You recognize it.
Thank you, Chair. The amendment is just redefining or defining as we have defined in other statutes what these accredited college or universities is. It's not changing the substance of the layout of the bill. It's just changing that definition.
A procedural question, Chairman.
Sure.
Would I be able to ask questions on the bill as amended after?
You will.
Thank you, sir. I'll save it for then.
Seeing no additional questions, any public testimony on the amendment? We have Kurt Deal from Deal Land Surveyor. He's wishing to speak. Kurt Deal? You're recognized.
Oh, okay, there we go. Okay. I've been in the surveying industry for over 30 years. I currently own a surveying company with my wife. It's been going out for 6 years. And we do have two licensed surveyors on staff. I am currently going to school to try to obtain a four-year degree, because unfortunately I did not do that. So until I get that, I can't do it. However, having a business, family, and being 54 years old, by the time I'm finished with it, it'll actually be 10 years for me to be able to get that degree. And that'll put me in my mid-60s. Most people are trying to retire at that time. That would mean I'm just now actually able to move forward with my business. And it's doing something with this bill and helping remove some of the harder criteria will help benefit people such as myself who are in this industry that have the knowledge and the experience, and with the test itself is a very, very difficult test, that's going to weed out the people that should not be in the industry. So we want to make sure that people that are in surveying are actually surveying. And the way it is right now, due to the lack of surveyors and licensed surveyors, they are actually having to go through engineers to check surveying requirements. Surveying and engineering are not the same. They're not the same. They have a lot of similarities, but the engineers are requiring the surveyors to meet engineering guidelines, and that's not what we do. And it's essentially, if something doesn't change, then surveying is going to be obsolete altogether, and it's all just going to be engineering. And we need surveyors out there. Engineers are not field guys. Surveyors are field guys. They know the industry.
Thank you. Appreciate your testimony.
Thank you.
Up next, we have David Daniel from the Florida Surveying and Mapping Society. You're waving in opposition. Appreciate that. Okay. Members, we are in debate on amendment number two. Any debate? Seeing no debate, show that amended, adopted without objection. Members, we are back on the bill as amended. Any questions on the bill as amended? Representative Overdorf.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Mariano, thank you for coming and talking to me. And we had a nice discussion. If you could just let me know what you're feeling, what your data has shown you on liability insurance and that type of issue associated with a professional surveyor that would have a high school degree rather than going through and getting the accreditation, and how that your new degree will affect insurance rates for companies across Florida that may have a higher liability, in my opinion, than before when they don't have that education side.
Representative, if you've surveyed the insurance companies on liability rates, you can...
Thank you, Chair. I haven't surveyed the insurance companies, but what I will say is we have a very important license in our state that does not require a four-year degree, and that's building contractors. And they put up walls and they put roofs over your head, and those things can fall and hurt you. And I think their insurance rates are doing all right. And I think that these would mimic what those rates are at the most, if not stay the same.
Additional question?
Not at the moment, thank you.
Any additional questions? Representative Robinson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative, for presenting the bill. I'm curious, what is your data show? Let's assume that your bill passes and becomes law. Do you have real-world examples or concrete data that opening up in this manner will actually produce more surveyors? What does your data show you that this bill will do?
Thank you, Chair. You know, anecdotally, we have survey techs that work in the field for 15, 20 years, and after working, you know, out in the field for that long, they want to be able to advance their career and go and take the exam, be the licensed surveyor, own their own business, and set up their families for generational wealth and success. And what this bill does is lets those people that may have not realized in the beginning that they would have wanted more of the, you know, office side of that position later on in their life, and after they've got this real-world experience, now they're going to be able to do that. So that's the intent here.
Additional questions? No additional questions. Public testimony? No public testimony. Members, we are in debate. Any debate on the bill? Representative Harding.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you, Chair Mariano, for the bill. You know, I support this bill, and we've talked a little bit about this and even in other professions. I think that the something that we need to be looking hard and long at in the legislature is improving the folks with work experience and what that means in the current climate and workforce shortage. So while this bill is limited to the surveying profession, I think it's very in line with something I truly believe in, which is workforce experience should be worth something and should be valued. So thanks for the bill.
Representative Overdorf.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Mariano. You know, I'm way too far from voting yes on this bill, primarily for a couple of different reasons. I believe that the transfer over of from another state is a valid thing, and you have a professional surveyor there, but I don't feel like 2 years of experience is appropriate for that. Additionally, I don't feel it's appropriate for a professional surveyor to have a high school degree only with experience. Survey companies have a lot of items that they can be doing it. For instance, whether it be CAD work, pole work, out there in the field, et cetera, and then you have the final person that's signing and sealing and stamping and is taking all that liability. We currently employ several surveyors as well as mappers, et cetera, that are out there in the field, one of which he has decided that he's great at doing CAD. He's been doing other things for quite some time, and we're putting him back through school. So you have an area in there also that you talked about, an apprenticeship, which I entirely support. I think that's a great idea. But as the bill is currently there, I think that it's going to be driving up liability rates right and left. I don't believe that insurance is in a good spot right now. And I just can't support this bill as it is. I think it's when you talk about a professional, this is not somebody that that should be considered on a high school degree. Now, you may say that somebody can go out and have the 25 semester hours, they can sit for the test and move forward. And I can't agree with that. I mean, why can't I graduate high school and sit for the medical boards and become a doctor? Why can't I go ahead and graduate high school and sit for the law degree and become a Juris Doctor there? I mean, that's the same principle that we're talking about. This is a professional that has very high standards associated with it. Florida's one of the largest states that we have out there. Yes, it's one of the states that, in fact, does have this requirement, but also Florida is an extremely litigious state. And I believe that this just opens up additional avenues. And while I support the possibility of having additional surveyors out there, I think that this is just not the way that we should be doing it and not the way we should be going about it. And I'm sorry to say, but I'll be down on this bill today if you can't get that from my speech. Thank you so much.
Representative Toledo.
Thank you, Representative Mariano. I know you've worked very hard on this issue, and I appreciate all the hard work. And I realize you're trying to solve a problem with the lack of surveyors we have, but as the only licensed professional engineer in the legislature, I find that we use this data. This is very important information. The surveys we use are the foundation of what we do. And without a good survey, you know, we are held liable for any problems that we have, whether you are talking about Surfside or any bridge that we're on. So we rely on this data, and surveying is very technical in nature, and that's why there's an educational component. So I think that you can come up with another solution, and I just don't think I can support this bill at the time.
Representative Robinson.
Thank you, Chair. I'm struggling with this bill. I struggled with it last year. I'm struggling with this year. And I just want to, you know, make a vote that determines from my standpoint, you know, what is the better policy here? And I get what Representative Toledo and Representative Ovendorf are saying with their expertise. You know, what is the better policy? I'm a real estate lawyer, and I've seen it firsthand how we can't get my clients can't get surveyors, and your bill may address that. I'm just not certain it's the right. I'm going to vote for today to keep the conversation going. You know, I question the legislative timing on this. You know, with Surfside and the other issues we've had, is this the right policy for us to advance, given the issues we've had? I don't know the answer to that, but today I want to keep the conversation going and onward. Encourage you to continue to listen to the stakeholders and move this bill, narrow it down to make sure that indeed it's ready for the floor. And at that point, I'll make a decision at that point. Thank you.
All right. Well, Representative Mariano, I know you brought this bill last year, and I appreciate you bringing this bill. And as the free state of Florida continues, the population continue to grow, I'm glad people like you are willing to bring bills like this forward to make sure that we can actually serve our community without endangering the welfares of those that live here or those that want to come here. And, you know, we need to make sure that we can service the community. And just because you have a four-year degree doesn't mean you're going to be a better surveyor, a better doctor, a better attorney, because we have people that have multiple degrees that are still poor at their profession, and it doesn't make you better at it. And, you know, thank God we don't limit technology people to create technology based on your degree, because most of the technology we all use are built by people that don't have four-year degrees. So I appreciate you bringing it forward and understanding everybody's concerns. And with that, Tatiana, please call the roll.
Chair Rommel?
Yes.
Vice Chair Joe Lombardo?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Escamani?
A soft no.
Representatives? Beltran?
Yes.
Bailey?
No.
Gulf Marcel?
No.
Gregory?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Mariana?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Nixon?
Yes.
Umfroy?
Yes.
Overdorf?
No.
Representative Blaken excused. Robinson?
Yes.
Yes.
Toledo?
No.
Bill is passed.
Thank you. Members, by your vote, we show HB 831 reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thanks for closing for me, Chair.
Sorry about that. Okay, up next, Representative McLean. HB 667, Department of Business Professional Regulations.
Thank you, Chairman Rommel, Vice Chair G. Lombardo, and Ranking Member Escamani. Good to see you. Chairman, if you'd like to do the entire bill for me and close, how would you like to proceed?
Do you want to temporarily postpone it?
No, sir.
Okay.
Members, it's my pleasure to be able to present the DBPR policy package for this session. They opened up a couple of chapters to change some things and try to make some things easier for renewals. For hotels and restaurants, I'll specify that license year of a lodging or food service license shall be 1 year from the date of issuance. It enables flexibility in license renewals by allowing the division to offer a two-year license renewal option in addition to the standard 1 year they would still be able to do if they chose to do that. Requires all license holders to provide an email address to the division to function as the primary contact point. Modernizes transient lodging establishment regulations by allowing the guest register to be maintained electronically. Under professions, it will eliminate the application deadline for statutory grandfathering. Provisions that allow registered electrical contractors to obtain certified status. Adds licensure by endorsement options for mold and asbestos professionals. Amends the required criteria for determining the financial responsibility of an asbestos contractor applicant. And then under the Athletic Commission, it clarifies that participants in exhibition matches are not subject to the maximum difference in participant weights. That is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Members, any questions on the bill? Representative Escamani.
Thanks so much. I had a very quick, small question, Chair.
I'm sure you do.
I did see the fiscal, I believe, that was just, I think it was $1.7 million. Is the department okay with that loss? I assume they are. But I just want to check in on that.
Representative?
Chairman, thank you, Chairman. They are. They feel at this point in time, just with the economy, how it's been, obviously revenues for the general budget are up, and they feel like this will be a savings to the citizens or to the business owners, and they can absorb it.
Additional question? No additional question? Any public testimony? Philip Soderman from Americas for Prosperity. Waive it in support. Thank you. Members, we're in debate. Any debate? Seeing no debate. Representative McLean, would you like to close?
I'll waive close.
Representative McLean, waive and close. Tatiana, please call the roll.
Chair Rommel?
Yes.
Vice Chair Joe Lombardo?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Escamani?
Yes.
Representatives Beltran?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Gulf Marcel?
Yes.
Gregory?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Mariano?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Nixon?
Yes.
Umfroy?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Blaken is excused. Robinson?
Yes.
Toledo? Bill is passed.
Members, by your vote, we'll show HB 667, Department of Business and Professional Regulation by McLean, reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, members.
Okay. Who is here? Representative Beltran, please present HB 545, Services of Process.
Thank you, Chairman. This bill, HB 545, it updates, modernizes, and clarifies the methods of service of initial process in civil litigation. That is the bill.
Great. Members, are there any questions? No questions. Public testimony? We have Amy Lyon from the Florida Bar. Waiving in support. Thank you. Martha Edenfield, the Real Property Probate and Trust Law Section of the Florida Bar. Waiving in support. I don't know how people fill things out and are not here, but that's Jose Diaz from the Florida Association of Professional Process Surveyors. Waving in support. Waving in support. Okay. All right, great. Members, we're in debate. Any debate? Representative Beltran, you are recognized to close.
Wave closed, Chairman.
Representative Beltran, having waved closed, Tatiana, please call the roll.
Chair Rommel?
Yes.
Vice Chair Joe Lombardo?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Escamani?
Yes.
Representatives Beltran?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Goff Marcel?
Yes.
Gregory?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Meggert?
Yes.
Mariano?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Nixon?
Yes.
Umfroy?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Blaken excused. Robinson?
Yes.
Toledo? Bill is passed.
Thank you. Members, by your vote, we'll show HB 545 reported favorably. Next, we're going to... Oh, Representative Beltran, come on back up or sit back down. And HB 1033, Homeowners Association.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman. This bill... provides for dispute resolution within homeowners association communities. We create an ombudsman akin to the ombudsman we have for condo associations in order to help mediate disputes. And additionally, we provide for arbitration for HOAs, non-binding arbitration, the way that condo associations currently have non-binding arbitration as a pre-suit condition to litigation. And that is the bill, and I have a strike call.
Thank you. Please present your strike call.
Thank you, Chairman. This strike call provides for additional procedures before the HOA can fine a resident. It requires that there be a fine committee made up of persons who are not on the board, and that there's an appeals committee as well made up of persons who are not on the board. It provides that the appeals committee may confirm, reject, or reduce a fine or suspension of owner privileges to use, for example, common areas. And it provides that the appeals committee must reduce the fine by 50% if the violation is corrected before the hearing. That is the amendment.
Great. Just going to back up for a quick second. Members, were there any questions on the bill before the strike call? Seeing none, members, we are on the strike call. Any questions on the strike call? Seeing none, any public testimony on the strike call? No public testimony on the strike call. Any debate on the strike call? Seeing no debate. We will show the strike call adopted without objection. Members, we are back on the bill as adopted in the strike call. Any questions? No. Any public testimony? Travis Moore from the Community Associations Institute, you are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. And I want to thank the sponsor, first of all, for being willing to do an association bill at all. Present company excluded. Most of the time when you bring an association bill to members, they sprint for the exits because HOAs, condos are their own unique form of fun. So thank you, Representative. We have some concerns, just in the process, how this is being put together. Had an opportunity to speak with the representative staff and look forward to continuing that dialogue with the representative himself. I'll just speak to three quick things. And CAI was involved in the creation of the condo ombudsman, so in no way are we opposed to the creation of an ombudsman program. We created the one that exists now for condos. And whether or not you want to expand the role of state government and into HOAs, and that's a policy decision that you obviously can make, and that's up to you. We just think if it's going to be done, it should be done fairly and equitably if we're going to essentially expand the role into HOA regulation. By the state. The three issues. One issue, just dealing with the funding. The way the funding now works for the condo ombudsman program is each condo, co-op, mobile home, manufactured home, timeshare, they each pay a fee. So every March, your condo associations, I'll use them for example, they multiply their number of units by four, they write a check, they send it every year to the state. That money is to be used, and it's in a trust fund. So we all say that we like to operate our, want our government to operate like a business. It goes into an account that is supposed to be for certain things. The legislature historically has decided that they could use that money as appropriators are certainly, it's within your right to do, and you sweep it and use it for other things. Some within the department, some completely out. And just incidentally, whenever I speak to members and say, well, why are we putting this money last year, $5 million in that is for certain things that condo owners pay for, education being one of them that we saw was probably needed in South Florida and other places, they say, well, condo owners use roads and schools, and they do, but they also pay the taxes that everybody else is paying as well for those. This is money that is specifically for certain things. So in this case, the way you've got it structured is instead of saying we're now going to have every parcel, which is in the millions, use their money to pay for into this program, we are just going to take it out of general revenue. So you're skipping the sweeping part, and you're just taking it right out of general revenue. And again, as appropriators, that's certainly your call. In times of plenty, and you have the money, that's a place that you can certainly go and get it. And if we're going to do that, I would argue that maybe we take all the money that your condo owners and your mobile home owners and your timeshare owners and your cooperative owners are paying every year for this same thing. If now their HOA neighbors across the way get to do it through without having to pay that, that might be an option to look at as well and just get rid of the fee that everybody else is paying. The one of the other issues is the committee that or the appeals committee that you adopted in the strike-all. We have finding committees. We're now adding another committee, again, an expansion, but that's certainly your policy decision to make. I am the president of an HOA of 24 units. We have to beg every year to get the five people to serve on the board. We have a finding committee that has to be people that aren't on the board. We now would have to get 13 members of the remaining members who are not related to the other members, and you start to get into math issues just to set up this committee for certainly smaller associations. And I think in most of your districts, you do have HOAs, such as mine, that only have 24 units. Some, I mean, I know of many as you do that are much smaller than that. I just think we might want to look at that as well. I think I'll leave it at that. Again, we look forward to working with the sponsor on just trying to help make this, if this is the decision to do. Oh, the one other issue that I did is on the non-binding arbitration. A couple of years ago, the legislature looked very, very seriously at, because again, in the condo world, that money that's not being spent for the things that it was.
Can we stick to HOAs, please?
Well, we took the HOA policy dispute resolution model that is working extremely well in your HOAs, which is pre-suit mediation. And we actually last year, so less than 10 months ago, you guys took that and put it into the condo statute. And so now wasn't able to cover the condos, you're now saying we're now going to expand that and you now have to cover all these HOAs. And I just think that's just something that, again, needs to be looked at on how you're going to handle that. Sorry, Mr. Chairman, for so much time, but it's obviously association issues are very important since half of Florida's residents live in some type of common interest ownership.
Great. Thank you. Mark Anderson from Chief Executive Offices of Management Companies. You're recognized.
Chairman, obviously, I'm not Mark Anderson, so I will fill out a speaker card. Mark wishes he could be here, but I'm pinch-hitting for him today. Chairman, thank you. Vice Chair, Ranking Member, Committee Members. My name is Josh Burkett, and I represent Florida's Licensed Community Association Managers, and thank you to Representative Beltran for the ongoing conversations that we've had. I echo a lot of Mr. Moore's comments, but one thing I did want to bring up to the committee today is with this strike call and the creation of the new appeals committee. Under current law, when an owner is fined, it cannot be imposed by the board until they already go before a fining committee, which is made up of three members not related to anyone on the board or on the board. And we share the concerns that Mr. Moore laid out in adding this extra layer when we already have enough difficulty finding solid board members to serve on these committees and having some of our smaller HOAs be able to find five additional members. And we also share the concerns on the cost. Condominiums, again, pay $4 a door to pay for their ombudsman. And we just want to make sure that that money that the condo owners are putting up each year to the state is used for those purposes. And if we are going to create an ombudsman's office for Chapter 720, that we find adequate funding for that. Happy to answer any questions.
Great. Thank you for your testimony.
Yes, sir.
Members, any debate? Any debate? Representative Robinson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And sorry, Representative, we weren't able to connect. I usually have a general rule if I can't pronounce a word, ombudsman, I don't usually vote for something. No. I have some concerns with this bill. I don't even know if I would have voted for the condo ombudsman situation if that had come up. I don't see necessarily the need for that bureaucracy. I am concerned about the point that was raised, given I do some HOA work of finding additional volunteers to serve on this other committee. But I know you'll work with the stakeholders, figure things out, tighten things up, so I'm supporting it today.
Representative Goff-Marceau.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Representative. I'm going to be up on this today because I think it's a really good idea, and I think that you're probably trying to solve some of these disputes without having to bring it all into the court system. I'm guessing that would be what's behind this, but I also recognize all the issues with the funding, so hopefully all that can be worked out. Thank you.
Representative Escamani.
Thank you so much, Rep. Beltran. I know that you are a really passionate consumer advocate, and I really appreciate you for that. We can find a lot of common ground in those spaces. I also spoke to our HOA folks, and so I one of my hopes is that if this process is created, we can find a way for adjustments to be made for those smaller HOAs, but also just the cost. You know, I want to make sure that we're not passing down more costs to homeowners. As we know, things are getting expensive. So that would be my only recommendation. I understand right now it's coming from general appropriate. So hopefully if this is eventually a final product, there can be a source of funding for it so it's not passed down to those homeowners. But I do think your efforts on consumer protection and access are fantastic. So I'll be voting yes on it, and I look forward to seeing some of those changes over time.
Representative Overdorf.
Thank you, Chairman. I'll be supporting this great bill today, and a part of it is because of an experience with ombudsman. We recently had a family, part of our family had some major water damage issues within their dwelling, and they weren't able to work out some issues with the HOA. We brought in the ombudsman. Magically, things started to work out. So really believe in the program. Thank you so much, and be up on this bill today.
Representative Beltran, I appreciate you bringing this bill forward. We know that there's a lot of disputes that could be easily resolved without going to court, and I think this bill will help. And it's also nice to see that we have so many fiscal hawks on this committee now. You are recognized to close.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you for all the members and stakeholders who share their thoughts. Just want to address a couple of things. There was some talk about pre-suit mediation. That is another ADR tool. The problem is that you don't have a neutral who actually adjudicates the case and shows the parties how the case is likely to turn out if it is litigated. And in fact, there's one case I'm handling right now. The people mediated, they impasse, they did not settle, and then now they've accused each other of breaking the mediation privilege, and they are suing each other over that. I'm trying to resolve that for my client right now, but that can actually inadvertently lead to more litigation. So we did want to provide the arbitration option. These disputes a lot of times get out of hand. People can run up $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. That's either going to be borne by the association if the homeowner prevails and it's going to be spread among the members, or it's going to be borne by that individual homeowner if they don't prevail. The purpose of this is to prevent things from getting to that stage, and I've seen it more than once. People call my law office, people have called my legislative office before coronavirus. This was the top concern. It was HOA disputes. And these disputes clog the courts. You get pro se litigants who frequently don't know the procedures in the courts. They clog up the courts and they burn up court time for that could be used for other types of cases. And so the cost of not doing something, I think, is more than the cost of trying to at least divert some of these disputes into ADR or to resolve them through the ombudsman. And we didn't want to impose the cost on the association homeowners, and so that's why we wanted to fund it out of general revenue. As for the suggestion that it's burdensome to have this additional layer of review of fines, I'm all about checks and balances. We have checks and balances here. We got to go get the Senate to pass our bills. We got to go get the governor to sign it. Checks and balances are a good thing in the court system. We have appellate courts as well. I think there should be checks and balances here. Sometimes these disputes are really personal matters between two people. And when you have to get more neighbors involved in deciding whether it's really worthwhile to find somebody, if you can't get another five people in the community to go find somebody, then maybe they don't need to be fined and maybe they don't need to sue on that fine if they're not able to collect it. So that's the intention. That said, I'm happy to hear other ideas of how we can mitigate some of these disputes. And with that, I close. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Beltran, having closed on a bill. Tatiana, please call the roll.
Chair Rommel?
Yes.
Vice Chair Joe Lombardo?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Escamani?
Yes.
Representatives Beltran?
Yes.
Daley?
Yes.
Gulf Marcel?
Yes.
Gregory?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Mariano?
Yes.
McFarland? Nixon? Umfroy?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Blaken, excused. Robinson?
Yes.
DeLita? Bill passed.
Members, by your vote, we'll show HB 1033. Report it favorably. Representative Beltran, it's your show today, the trifecta, HB 1095, telephone solicitations.
Thank you, Chairman. I promise this is the last one. So this bill tweaks the bill I had last year. Some of y'all may recall we passed a bill to prevent these robocalls and so forth and prevent that annoyance. This bill picks up a couple tweaks that were not in last year's bill. We add a two-way attorney fee so to prevent frivolous litigation, allow consumers to bring individual actions for those who violate the law. And then we place some guardrails on the law, allowing, preventing these lawsuits where somebody makes an inquiry to a business and the business uses an automated system to return that call or to respond to that inquiry. We've seen some lawsuits like that, and that's not the intention. This was to prevent unsolicited calls, and so we put some guardrails on that. Additionally, we require you to use the automated system for both the selection and the dialing of a phone solicitation call. The reason for that is if you, for example, call someone to do business with them on your cell phone, your cell phone is dialing. You're selecting, but your cell phone's dialing, and that sort of call should be lawful because it does involve a person being involved. And so that is the bill, and I have an amendment to that amendment as well.
Great. Members, any question on the bill as presented right now? No, and I do see you have an amendment and an amendment to the amendment. Explain amendment number one.
Number one makes this tweak retroactive back to the enactment date of the bill that was passed last year.
Members, any questions on the First Amendment? No questions. And please explain the amendment to the amendment.
Thank you, Chairman. The amendment to the amendment corrects a grammatical error in the amendment.
All right. Members, any questions on the amendment to the amendment? Seeing none. Any public debate? None. Members, were in debate on the amendment to the amendment? None. Members, we will show, and no public testimony, and we will show that amendment to the amendment adopted without objection. And we are back. We're back on the original amendment. Any questions on the original amendment? No questions, no public testimony. Any debate on the original amendment? See, no debate. So that amendment adopted without objection. Now we are back on the bill as amended. Any questions on the bill as amended? No questions. Any public testimony? We do. Evan Power, Florida Automobile Dealers Association. I don't see Evan, but I know he's waving in support. Adam Basford, Associated Industries of Florida, waving in support. Members, we are on debate of the bill. Any debate? Seeing no debate, Representative Beltran, you are recognized to close on your bill as amended.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, everyone, for your time today. I wave close. Thank you.
Representative Beltran, having closed on the bill, Tatiana, please call the roll.
Chair Rommel?
Yes.
Vice Chair Joe Lombardo?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic members, Kamani?
Yes.
Representatives, Beltran?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Hof Marcel?
Yes.
Gregory?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Mariano?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Nixon? Umfroy?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Blaken excused. Robinson?
Yes.
Toledo? Bill passed.
Members, by your vote, we will show HB 1095 reported favorably as amended. And let's try to keep the favorable outcome going with PCS for HB 635, Representative Maggard.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and committee. This is the bill we heard last week that was amended. It's the bill that removes the ability for fire inspectors and building inspectors to veer away from the Florida Building Code. And it also makes it easier to obtain a permit from local governments when demolishing single-family structures in a flood-prone area. That is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Members, any questions on Representative Maggard? Seeing no question. Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Goff-Massara.
Thank you, Chair. Representative, is the Florida Fire Marshals and Inspectors Association still happy with this version of the bill?
You're recognized.
Thank you. The Florida Fire Marshal Association is. They waved in support last meeting.
Any additional questions? No additional question. Public testimony. Chris Dawson, Florida Roofing and Sheet Metal Contractors Association. Waving in support. Eric Proxman, Florida Fire Marshals and Inspectors Association. Waving in support. Members, were in debate. Any debate? Representative Escamon.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to say thank you to Rep. Maggard for answering my questions last week, and I also spoke to staff, and so I appreciate the insight, and I will be supporting the bill today. So thank you.
Well, thank you.
Great. Representative Maggard, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Wave closed, Chair.
Tatiana, with Representative Maggard having closed on a bill, please call the roll.
Chair Rommel?
Yes.
Vice Chair Joe Lombardo?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic members, Kamani?
Yes.
Representatives, Beltran?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Gulf Marcel?
Yes.
Gregory?
Yes.
Rico?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Mariano?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Nixon?
Yes.
Umfroy?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Blaken excused. Robinson?
Yes.
Toledo? Bill passed.
Members, by your vote, we will show PCS for HB 635 reported favorably. Okay, Representative Robinson on the behalf of Representative Leek, CS for HB 519, third party rights under the Uniform Commercial Code. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm pleased to present this on behalf of Chair Leak. I casually mentioned to him after this passed unanimously in civil justice that my least favorite class in law school was secure transactions. Well, this bill governs secure transactions. In 2001, to promote the free assignability of personal property, including intangible property rights, the UCC was amended to, among other things, include a general restriction against contract provisions prohibiting or restricting the creation of a security interest. In 2018, the Uniform Law Commission approved a narrow set of amendments to Article 9 of the UCC. These amendments resolved a potential conflict between the UCC and state laws governing the management of businesses organized as a partnership or an LLC. These amendments eliminate the conflict with the pick your partner principle. Specifically, these amendments provided that the Article 9 override does not apply to a security interest in an ownership interest or in a general or limited partnership. To date, 10 states have adopted some form of these amendments, and HB 519 would incorporate these 2018 UCC amendments into law. That's the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Members, any questions on the bill? No questions. Any public debate? One appearance card. Amy Lynn, Florida Bar Association, waving in support. Thank you. Members, debate? No debate? Representative Robinson, you are recognized to close.
I'll waive close, Mr. Chair.
Representative Robinson, having closed on Representative Leak's bill, Tatiana, please call the roll.
Chair Rommel?
Yes.
Vice Chair John Lombardo?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic members, Kamani?
Yes.
Representatives, Beltran?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Gulf Marcel?
Yes.
Gregory?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Harding? Maggard?
Yes.
Mariano?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Nixon?
Yes.
Umfroy?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Blaken excused. Robinson?
Yes.
Toledo? Bell passed.
Thank you. Members, by your vote, we'll show CS for HB 519 reported favorably. HB 1185, legislative review process. Representative G. Lombardo presenting for Representative Plankin. You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Committee. This bill extends the Sunrise review process, which is requiring a cost-benefit analysis to be conducted before legislation on to regulate unregulated professions or occupation. What this bill does, it expands it if it's an already current regulated profession, it expands it to that area as well, and is also requires the proponents to do a report to the Speaker, Senate President, and state agency 30 days prior to the session, and requiring the state agency to do a report to the Senate President, Speaker, and the proponents of the regulation 25 days after receiving it. That is the bill.
Members, any questions? Seeing no questions, any public testimony? Christian Camera, Institute for Justice.
I want to thank Vice Chair Jill Lombardo for taking the helm and Institute for Justice waves
his time. Waving in support. Sal Nunzio, James Madison Institute, waving in support. And Philip Sutterman from Americas for Prosperity.
Americas for Prosperity, waving in support.
Waving in support. Members, we're in debate. Representative Escamani.
Thank you so much, Chair. I didn't want to ask questions to the Vice Chair because I know it's not your bill, so I wasn't going to put you in that spot. But I actually remember seeing a similar version of this bill in previous sessions, and so I definitely appreciate the intention of trying to collect the data and be thoughtful to policies coming our way. But as I remember mentioning years ago, I just find it kind of ironic that when it comes to efforts to deregulate, we're not putting the same type of criteria on someone's plate. And it does seem like this is just more red tape for lawmakers to do their job. It's an administrative burden that is purely designed to just silence and make it more difficult for there to be any type of regulation. And I think when it comes to environmental issues in particular, it's important to be thoughtful, but that is what the committee process is for. And so Happy to see, you know, revised versions of this that maybe have less red tape, but it definitely just seems like intentional effort to prevent a policymaker from pursuing a potential regulation that is good for the state. And the fact that we don't put that same type of weight in the opposite direction just feels a little ironic to me. So I was down last time and I'll be down again, but I'll talk to Chair Plakin about it as I consider him a good colleague. So we'll see if there's any space for negotiation once I have a chance to talk to him. So thank you, Vice Chair.
Any additional debate? No additional debate. Representative G. Lombardo for Representative Plakin. We only have an hour and 36 minutes left, so if you can keep your close within that time frame, it'd be appreciated. You're recognized to close.
It has passed. Thank you, Chair. It has passed twice before the House, and I'm going to close.
Thank you, Representative G. Lombardo, for Representative Plakin. Having closed on the bill, Tatiana, please call the roll.
Chair Rommel?
Yes.
Vice Chair Joe Lombardo?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic members, Kamani?
No.
Representatives Beltran?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Gulf Marcel?
No.
Gregory?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Mariano?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Nixon? Umfroy?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Plakin excused. Robinson?
Yes.
Toledo? Bill passed.
Thank you, members. By your vote, show that bill passed favorably. Congratulations. And members, our work is done for today. So without objection, Representative Greco moves we rise.